God's elect know the time when judgment day is coming. But the unbelievers, they don't know the time. God has commanded us to warn them that the sword is coming.
Is Family Radio right? Is the world really going to end? Here's your host, Positive Dennis.
Welcome to Podcast Zero of the Prophecy Podcast. Will Christ return and rapture away his church on Saturday, May 21st, 2011? First, let me say how annoyed I was of this particular date. It is one day after my birthday, so now I will have to spend eternity 1 year older. Why couldn't he have come back on May 19th? Would have been a lot better for me personally. But seriously, this idea of Christ returning and the dates that everyone sets to do, that many people set to do that, is nothing new. It goes back thousands and thousands of years. The first example that I'm aware of someone doing that was around 400 AD, where someone looked through the seven churches in Revelation 2 and 3 and concluded that they were church eras. Some of you may have heard that theory before. And they decided that they were in the Laodicean age, the last age of, and around 400 AD, they predicted that Christ was going to return. They're wrong. 666 AD was another date that people got really concerned about and afraid that Christ was going to return. 1000 AD, again, nice round number. Revelation 20 talks about 1,000 years. 1260 AD was another date that people chose, because 1260 is a prominent number in the book of Revelation, 3.5 years. Well, many problems with this. First off, the calendar we use today wasn't even contemplated when John was revealed the book of Revelation. So the significance of a date, whether it be 1,666 or 2,000, is really just an artifact of the calendar we use today, and it's really not that significant. 1688 is another date that was popular. 1843 was probably the most famous date that people chose. In particular, one man chose, William Miller, to be the return of Christ. He was a very charismatic preacher, and he preached to over 500,000 people over the years leading up to 1843. And he was convinced that Christ was going to return on that date. Well, it came and it went, the date he picked. And that created a great problem for him, naturally enough. What he did was, he went back and looked at his calculations again, and he discovered he'd made a bonehead mistake. There is no year zero. In other words, when you go from 1 BC to 1 AD, there's no intervening year at the year zero. So he was a year off, he thought, and Christ would return in 1844. Well, when that date passed, he had another problem. According to author Wayne Judd from the book The Disappointed on page 32, this is what he says of William Miller. He, again, the author here is referring to William Miller, refused to bear responsibility for deception. No one can honestly say he has been deceived by me. My advice has always been for each to study the evidence of faith for himself. This is a letter he wrote to T.E. Jones. Miller speculated that God may have designed the delay so that when people would turn to the Bible to study further and be reconciled to God. After all, to have erred in the precise date did not reduce the Advent urgency. Every passing day was one day nearer to the end. And this is a common pattern of these kind of things. You think they just admit, you know, I was wrong, sorry. But instead they have to develop these elaborate theories about it. And probably the most elaborate theory that's been evolved from a failed date is this date, where the Seventh-day Adventist Church has something called investigative judgment. While it's different than what it was originally investigative judgment was the idea that Jesus went from the heavenly tabernacle into the Holy of Holies And at that time, the door of salvation was shut for everybody. Only those people that were in the Miller movement could be saved. You know, that is a little bit of a problem for us today because no one is alive now that was alive then. But they jiggled with the figures, jiggled with the interpretation, and investigative judgment is still out there as an interpretation of why Christ didn't return in 1844. 1914 was another very popular date. While a lot of other interesting things happened in 1914, World War I and so on, Christ didn't return. In the 1920s, the same group that had just failed in their prediction of 1914 figured he was going to come in the 20s. And they had this really interesting theory that Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob were going to prefigure the return of Christ, and they were going to come on earth to live. So the head of the denominations, I'm talking about the Jehovah Witnesses here, the head of the denomination bought a very nice house in San Diego for Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob to live in when they came. Of course, he lived in it until they did come, and they never came. Another popular date was 1975. Jehovah's Witnesses also picked that one. Well, they learned a little bit from their mistakes in the past, and they were a lot less dogmatic about the date, but I still remember seeing literature from that time period talking about 1975. And the Worldwide Church of God also picked 1975 as an important date. And when that date passed, what the Worldwide Church of God did was they announced it was still a significant date because they had signed a radio contract in Europe. Not very convincing. Hal Lindsey picked the date of 1988, which was 40 years after the founding of Israel, because he felt that Israel and the founding of Israel as a country was prophetically significant. I even remember looking up the original article about it, because he later years denied he said it. And it's right there in Christianity Today, where he said he was going to do that. This same year, another gentleman produced a book called 88 Reasons Why Christ Will Return in 1988. He published a book a year for 5 or 6 years, and then finally he gave up. 2007 was suggested because that's 40 years after Israel conquered Jerusalem. Again, 40 years being a generation from 1967, supposedly. And now, the most current date is May 21st, 2011. Well, will Christ return in just a few days? Jesus answered the question for us. No one knows about that day or hour, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Now, no doubt they have their own elaborate explanations about why this isn't accurate or why this isn't so, and this is a pattern that I will address in the podcast from time to time. It's the number of places where Jesus says something and his followers immediately believe the opposite. I don't know why that happens. I guess people put a template down over the Bible, and when they do that, there's always parts of the Bible that don't fit the template, and they have to be adjusted. You know, the proverbial square peg in the round hole. Most people would quit trying to do that. Other people just get a bigger hammer and hammer harder. Well, let's look at Matthew 24, which is where that came from. In particular, that was Matthew 24, 36. And let's see what Jesus said about his return and the end of the age. Verse 1 says, Jesus left the temple and was walking away when his disciples came up to call his attention to the buildings. Do you see all these things? He said. I tell you the truth, not one stone will be left upon another. Every one will be thrown down. Verse 3. As Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately. Tell us, they said, when will this happen, and what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age? These are really two different questions, and Jesus answers both of them at once. This is common in prophets and prophecies, and we'll be talking about it more as time goes on. It's called prophetic perspective. Jesus said in verse 4, watch out that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. Why would he have to warn them and say, watch out, if we couldn't be deceived by this kind of thing? And yes, I'm saying the people who advocate May 21st, 2011 as the return of Christ are deceived. Continuing on in Matthew 24 and verse 6. You will hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see to it that you are not alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is going to come any minute. Oh. Isn't what it says, is it? But that's the way I personally read it for 20 years. I would read verse 6, and again, I had this template that I put over the Bible. And I read it as if Christ was saying the return was imminent in my lifetime. But here's actually what Jesus said. Verse 6. You will hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see to it that you are not alarmed. Such things must happen. But the end is still to come. In other words, situation normal. Things are bad. Nation, verse 7, will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these things are the beginning of birth pains. Again, in other words, situation normal. Good example of what I'm talking about is the parable of the talents. We each have a considerable period of time, historically speaking, for most of our lives, to make use of the abilities God has given us. If Christ was going to return tomorrow, would you make long-term plans for his kingdom? You would not. But since we cannot know, we have to plan for the long term. And I mentioned this problem extended throughout all the church age, all the church history. Well, this was a problem in the New Testament church as well. 1 Thessalonians 4:11 talks about a category of people who are making this mistake. Make it your ambition to lead a quiet life, to mind your own business, and to work with your hands, just as we told you, so that your daily life may win the respect of outsiders and you will not be dependent on anyone. But what he's talking about here is what I call the Christian bum. Now, maybe you've run across such an odd entity. I ran across one years ago when I bought a piece of property, and he was living in a little cabin that was on the property, and he was there to be sort of a caretaker, and he got free rent and so on. I didn't need him, because I was living on the property myself, but he just didn't seem all that concerned that he didn't have any, he wasn't productive, he didn't have any plans for the future. But he was a very good Christian. 2 Thessalonians 2:2 talks about this as well. Again, the same kind of thing of not working because Christ is going to return any minute. Don't be easily shaken or alarmed by those who say the day of the Lord has already begun. Don't believe them. Even if they claim to have a spiritual vision, a revelation, or a letter supposedly from us. And that's from the New Living. What I think the Thessalonians were doing is they're taking some things Paul had written in 1 Thessalonians, in particular chapter 4, talking about the return of Christ, and had misunderstood it, and had started acting oddly. Again, not working, expecting other people to support them, being a Christian bum. But verse 3 of 2 Thessalonians 2 talks about this. Don't let anyone deceive you in any way, for that day will not come until the rebellion occurs and the man of lawlessness is revealed. The man doomed to destruction, he will oppose and will exalt himself above everything that is called God or is worshipped, so that he sets himself up in God's temple, proclaiming himself to be God. Well, this hasn't happened yet. That would indicate to me, again, reading the Bible here at face value, that Christ can't return on May 21st. This is just the podcast being recorded just a few days beforehand. Well, the man of sin has not been revealed. Paul, again, later on, addresses these idle people. In verse 6, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we command you, brothers, to keep away from every brother who is idle and does not live according to the teaching you receive from us. For you yourselves know how you ought to follow our example. We were not idle when we were with you, nor did we eat anyone's food without paying for it. On the contrary, we worked night and day, laboring and toiling so that we would not be a burden to any of you. We did this not because we don't have the right to such help, but in order to make ourselves a model for you to follow. For even when we were with you, we gave you this rule. If a man will not work, he shall not eat. Verse 11. We hear that someone, when you are idle, they are not busy. They are busy bodies. Such people we command and urge in the Lord, in the name of the Lord Jesus, to settle down and earn the bread they eat. As for you, brothers, never tiring of doing what is right. Now, what do you do with these kind of people? In particular, this is one face of thinking Christ is going to come at a certain date. You stop planning for the future. You stop working. Why save? The particular people advocating May 21st, 2011 may not be making this mistake. I don't know. But it is a common mistake that people make that get involved in this millennial madness. Verse 11. We hear that some among you are idle. They are not busy. They are busybodies. Such people we command and urge in the Lord Jesus Christ to settle down and earn the bread they eat. As for you, brothers, never tire of doing what is right. So again, don't let your belief of the certain return of Christ keep you from doing long-term planning. And what should we respond as a Christian who is trying to do the right thing, planning for the future and so on? Verse 14 says, if anyone doesn't obey our instructions in this letter, take special note of him. Don't associate with him in order that he may feel ashamed. Yet do not regard him as an enemy, but warn him as a brother. And that's to a degree what I'm trying to do here. I've got to be careful not to mock them too much, although I am sorely tempted. But instead, just to warn people that this kind of approach to the Bible is not fruitful. It doesn't lead in the right direction. And of course, the idea of if Jesus is at the door, why work? Why plant crops if they were going to harvest them? Indeed, that is the question. Are these people who happen to be farmers who believe this, have they actually got seed in the ground? But I did want to leave you with a final warning. And there's a danger from these kind of beliefs when they fail. And Peter talks about that in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 3. First of all, you must understand that in the last days, scoffers will come, scoffing and following their own evil desires. They will say, where is this coming, he promised. Ever since our fathers died, everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation. But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. The Lord isn't slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. We have time, and hopefully we'll put that time to good use, because sooner or later, Christ will come. And will you be ready when he does? 1 Thessalonians 5 is interesting in this regard as well. Verse 1. No, brothers, about times and dates we do not need to write you, for you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. In other words, it won't be expected. While people are saying peace and safety, destruction will come on them suddenly as labor pains on a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But you, brothers, are not in darkness so that that day should surprise you like a thief. You are sons of the light and sons of the day. We do not belong to the night or to the darkness. So then, let us not be like others who are asleep, but let us be alert and self-controlled. For those who sleep, sleep at night. And those who get drunk, get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be self-controlled, putting on faith and love as a breastplate, and the hope of salvation as a helmet. For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. He died for us so that, whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. So, it's not so much that we will know when he returns. We won't. But we need to be spiritually alert for any scenario. The solution to both of these mistakes that people make, first mistake being Christ is coming this Saturday. Another mistake is, oh, I've got lots of time. I can repent later. The response is always the same. Be ready. Be vigilant. Be sober. Be zealous.